Okay, this is where it gets a little bit riskier for me. Instead of our children up to fifth grade going out, you can make your way to the front and sit here. Yeah. Are you guys, you're going to be up to, oh, we got one, James, leader. Patrick, you're a leader. Yeah, he even told me how to remember his name instead of his brother's name. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have a few ground rules here. Actually, one. What we're going to do is one person at a time talks, right? So if I'm talking, I'll be the one, right? If I ask a question, you can raise your hand. And what if I point to you and call you by the wrong name? Okay? And then you can answer too. Deal? All right, good, good. I want to tell you a story today about a man who was lost but was found by Jesus. Because that's the kind of thing that Jesus does. He finds people who are lost. Now, don't answer out loud. Any of you ever have a dog? Now, we have a dog, but before this dog that we have, our dog, now his name is Samson. He's getting old. He has a hard time getting up steps and things. But we had a dog named Ringo. We kind of brought him home. He's a little bit older. And so Ringo didn't want to be at our house very much. We had him home, and the first day home, he ran away. That's not good. And so we were chasing him. We were going in people's backyards without asking. We were in the woods behind their houses. And the only reason why we caught him, because on his collar there was a leash. And at the end of the leash, you know where you put your hand in? That caught on a little stump in the woods. That's the only way we caught him. Well, about a week later, my wife was gone on a women's retreat. And so I tied the dog to a tree, but not like tied the dog to the tree like he's, you know, tied to the tree. It was like on a leash, right? And so he was on the leash, and what I'm about to tell you next, it really, really wasn't my fault. I didn't do this on purpose. It's not because Ringo and I didn't really get along all that well, but what happened was he pulled so hard that the collar slipped off his head. Yeah, well, yeah, and our dog, Ringo, ran away again. This time, we searched and searched day after day, week after week. We would get calls from people because we were telling them, said, oh, we think we found your dog over in another neighborhood a couple miles away from where we were. And we would go to that neighborhood as quick as we could, get out of our car and start looking around and couldn't find him. But a couple times, we would spot him, and we would try to, we used bologna because somebody said bologna has a real strong smell, and Ringo might smell it and want to come get it. He didn't care. He didn't want it. And one time, we were almost about to get him. We were running through the woods, and it was real thick, so it was hard for him to run too very fast, and I dove for him and missed. Ringo did not want to come home. And we searched very hard and long for him, and he didn't come home. There is a man in the Bible, some of you will even know his name. He was a man who was lost. His name was Zacchaeus. I knew you guys, some of you might know about Zacchaeus. He wasn't found yet. He didn't find that home that Jesus was inviting him to, that way of Jesus saying, come and be with me. Zacchaeus was lost, but today's story is a great story about when Zacchaeus is finally found. So I want to read to you this story about Zacchaeus. I want you to listen to what is the name of the city, and what do you learn about Zacchaeus? And when you raise your hand afterwards, I'll ask you what you found. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of, what's his name? Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming his way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I will give back to them four times what I've cheated them." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Okay, who knows this city? Yes, sir. It was Jericho. Who can tell me something about Zacchaeus?
He was the chief tax collector.
Chief tax collector.
He was short.
But that's not important, right? It doesn't matter how tall somebody is, right? Yeah? He was short. But that's, yes, very good point. Good listening, you guys. Who else knows something about, yes? He lived in Jericho. Yeah, he was declared the son of Abraham. And let me tell you a few things. Because he was a chief tax collector, nobody liked him. Because he was a tax collector. Let's say somebody owed $20 for their taxes. You know what Zacchaeus would say? "Give me $30.
No, you owe 40.
You owe 40, he may say, if he really wanted to make a lot of money that day. So people didn't like the tax collectors because they always thought they were cheating them, and they probably were, because Zacchaeus even mentions that he was cheating people at times. Yeah, so they didn't. Some people thought he was a traitor, that he was working for somebody else that they shouldn't be working for. But it also said he was a wealthy man. He had lots of money. By cheating people. Sometimes people don't like people who have lots of money. Sometimes people like get a new bicycle and you can't get a new bicycle. Sometimes we don't like them because they got a new bicycle and we didn't. They have more stuff. Who do they think they are with more stuff? And I think that's how come some people thought about Zacchaeus too. Look at all the stuff that he has and he cheated. And they didn't like him. Zacchaeus had a hard time. He had a home. Yeah, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem for this big, it was like what you would think of a parade. He had a lot of food and a lot of clothing. He had everything. We know he had a home too, because Jesus was going to go there. So this man had everything. Do you know what some people would look at and say, you know, Zacchaeus has a lot of toys. Zacchaeus has a nice house. Zacchaeus has a lot of nice clothes, and he's driving the latest chariot. Zacchaeus has a great life, and he must be happy. I think you're right.
Because he didn't
have God's money. Yeah. Remember, I'm the one right now. Geauga County is the second wealthiest county in Ohio. We take a look at people sometimes and say, man, look at their house. Look at their cars. Look at their stuff. Look at their clothes. Look at their toys. Look at all. They have to be happy. But I think like Zacchaeus, I think there's something down inside that just wasn't quite right yet. There was a hunger inside of Zacchaeus that he wanted to get to Jesus, and he wanted to get to Jesus pretty badly, because I think there was a hunger inside him that all the stuff that he had was not really bringing him some sort of peace or contentment or maybe the word joy inside of him. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're really not at home with God. We're really not comfortable until we know Jesus. One part of the Bible says this: God has put eternity in the hearts of man. Now, that's a pretty abstract thought, and I know that. But let's imagine there's something inside of us that can't be filled up, and we can't find joy until that thing is full. And there's only one who can fill an eternity inside of us, and that's Jesus Christ himself. So we can have all the stuff we want, but we still may have unrest at home. Yes. Oh, you're okay. Good job. So Zacchaeus wants to go and meet Jesus, right? I mean, he really wants. So there's a crowd going on, and he runs out in front of them. And do you remember what he did so he could see him? I'll show you what he did. Oh, you guys, just move for a second here, okay? I'm going to show you what he did. He went, and he got a pair of stilts. Is that what the Bible said?
Are you going to walk on those?
Am I going to walk on these? Well, I don't know. Should we give it a try? What do you think? Wow. You guys don't have much faith. Well, hey, look at me. So, did he go and get a pair of stilts?
No. He climbed a maple tree.
He climbed a tree. A sycamore fig tree. Oh, good memory. I always forget about the fig part. And you know why he climbed up in the tree? Because he wanted to see. Do you know what I learned about a sycamore fig tree? It has a lot of branches. And it has a lot of branches. And so when he climbs up into that tree, it's even hard to see him. Am I actually going to do what? No, I tried. There would be a lot of injuries. And at 55, it would not be a pretty picture. Because there's only one way this elevator would go. Down, right. So Zacchaeus, when he's up in this tree, it's hard to see him. So it's almost like he was kind of hiding too. Like, I want to see Jesus, but I'm going to hide. And then I say, why does this man want to see Jesus? Well, right before Jesus went into Jericho, there was a man who was blind. Raise your hand. What did Jesus do for that blind man? Somebody who hasn't answered, right here.
He did.
He opened his eyes. He made it so he could see. And if I'm somebody who's in Jericho and somebody just opened the eyes of the blind, you know what I want to do?
What?
I want to go see him. Yeah. And if I'm short, and I'm not, I'm going to climb a tree or get on my stilts and go see him. You know another reason, I think? I think he was a chief tax collector. I know he was. And stories were floating around. And there was one guy who would walk around with Jesus everywhere he was going. He was one of the 12 apostles. His name was Matthew. And Matthew, do you know what his job was? He was a tax collector. And Jesus went to his house. Jesus went to this tax collector's house, and he kind of went to Matthew's party and had a great time. And so I'm wondering if Zacchaeus heard this story about Matthew and he began to say to himself, you know what? If Jesus went to Matthew's house, maybe he would come to my house. You see, I think in the midst of all of that Zacchaeus had, there was a loneliness inside of him that he knew that life wasn't just right yet. There was something more to life than what he was experiencing, and now he's beginning to see that it was in Jesus. Well, Jesus goes to his house. Remember what he said to Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I want to go to your house today. Yeah. And Zacchaeus did. I don't know when he fell down, if he just, fell on the ground, or if he just fell on his knees before Jesus, because he had to stand up later. Remember that? Yes, maybe he fell. It's interesting, because you know what he said, the first thing he said to him? Not praise you, but called him Lord. But first, the people were muttering. Muttering. I've never used that word when I talk. mutter. Say it with me four times, okay? Mutter. But say it quietly. Mutter. See, we mutter things we don't want others to hear. Let's pretend little Lucy is told by her mother, go to bed. It's 8:30. It's past your bedtime. Well, little Lucy, she's going to have just a little bit of attitude, right? And she, I'm not going to. And so she knows she can't talk directly to mom, right? Can't disrespect your mom. So little Lucy is on her way to bed. She has a brother. You know what she starts saying to her brother? Mom is so mean. See, she's beginning to mutter. She doesn't want mom to hear quite. Mom is so mean. I'm 6 years old. I can set my own bedtime. No. They're muttering. There were people who were muttering about Jesus. Well, what you're going to the house of this sinner guy for? Nobody likes him. Why are you going to his house? But you know what a mutterer does? Now, little Lucy, she would have had a good meal that day at home. Her mom played games with her that day, her favorite games, like Candyland. I still would like to play Candyland, but my kids are too old. Maybe one day you guys will bring Candyland and we'll play Candyland.
Monopoly!
And Monopoly!
Star Wars Monopoly!
Star Wars! Oh, stop!
I like Candyman.
Candyman? Okay. Oh, look at this hand. Yes, sir. Mom, yeah, you're kind of muttering under your... But they were muttering, why is he going to his house? That's good insight. But you know what, little Lucy? She misses out on all the good things in order just to complain. These people here who were muttering against Jesus, they missed the miracle that just happened when the blind man's eyes were open. They missed all the other. Instead of saying, why is Jesus going to his house? They're saying, oh, he shouldn't be going to that man's house. So they were muttering away. Mutter. Well, the first thing that Zacchaeus says to Jesus is, Lord. What does Lord mean? Let me give you an example. And they're okay, by the way. No further. Yep. Come on back. You know what Lord means? Let me give you an example. When I go home after work, my children are all home, and when they greet me, they say, welcome home, Lord Daddy. And you know what they're meaning by that? You're the master of this house, and we are your servants. We're here to honor you, Lord Daddy. We're so glad you came home. And then I have to say, kids, off your knees. It's okay. Everything's fine. We better move on.
Do they really do that? Do they give you free ice cream?
I may call them Lord if they gave me free ice cream, buddy.
Do they give you free Legos?
Oh, I had a boy who loves Legos. But what happens is, Lord is a word that they used for a lot of people back in the day of Jesus. So if somebody was a king or a ruler, like, let's pretend I'm Lord and I'm the master. You can't fight on my time. Oh, yeah.
If you do, it's a war.
And what Zacchaeus was saying, up here. What Zacchaeus was saying to Jesus, here and now, you're the Lord of my life. It's a big change, okay? No. It's a big change that's going on. And so, yeah, we're all good. Yeah. You're the Lord of my life. This would have been new for Zacchaeus. But parents, I want you to understand something too. In the book of Luke, the gospel according to Luke, the word Lord is only used in reference to Jesus or a reference to Lord Most High or the angels of the Lord. Only disciples and people who believed in Jesus would use the word Lord. Pharisees wouldn't use it. Those who were opposed to Jesus wouldn't use it. And so when Luke writes that Jesus says, or that Zacchaeus says to Jesus, you're the Lord of my life, he is declaring there's a change that has happened in Zacchaeus. This man who was once lost and apart from God has now come home. And isn't it so much like Jesus that Jesus didn't wait for Zacchaeus to come to him? Jesus went to Zacchaeus into the tree and said, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. I want to be with you. You see, Jesus is on a seek and rescue mission. And right now, Jesus is seeking and rescuing every person in this room. He is looking for you and searching for you and calling you to come home to him. He's not waiting. He's seeking. And he wants you to come home to him. Just like Zacchaeus. You see, Zacchaeus didn't have like some sort of magic prayer that changed everything. What happened in Zacchaeus was a change of heart. We could go into all of these things, but we're not going to. Because when Jesus says, this is a son of Abraham, he is saying, this is a man of faith. This is a man who believes in what God is doing. This is a man who doesn't try to get to God by his good behavior or all the wonderful things that he has done. He is getting to God by faith. He just believes that the words of Jesus are true. He believes that Jesus is the one who can rescue his life. And he says, Jesus, you're the Lord. You're the master of my life. And so Zacchaeus had this huge turn within his heart. Jesus, I've been in opposition to you. Now I desire to follow you all the days of my life. He was rescued that day. He was found and came home. Well, when a man is found like that, his life begins to change. Behaviors are different. I want to make it very clear what I am about to say. It's the evidence of what God did in his life. It doesn't get him to God. Because Zacchaeus gave money to the poor, that doesn't get him to God. Because Zacchaeus gave people four times the amount he ever cheated them, that doesn't get him to God. That's the time and the evidence of God changed his life. I'll give you an example, and as you guys are up here kind of wandering and thinking about something like Candyland. In my life, when I got saved, and I hope I didn't tell you the story, I probably have, but I got saved at 17, first time I heard the gospel. But a friend of mine and I used to go up and down Shoregate Shopping Center stealing stuff. We would take, you remember 8-track tapes? We had pea coats, and two would fit in our inside coat pocket. And before all the technology, and so we would steal things, we would change price tags, we would do all kinds of things. And he got caught. It was very wrong. Never go there. There are people who work hard in those stores, okay? But when I made a choice to follow Jesus, I did. I asked him to come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and Lord, I'm going to live for you. One of the things he told me to do is similar to Zacchaeus. You got to go back and make things right from people you stole from. So the first store I went to was called Uncle Bill's. First store on the Shoregate block that we would go into. And the information. So I went into information. I said, okay. I brought my checkbook. And I said, you know what? To the best of my ability, here's all the things I have stolen and all the price tags I've changed. I just want to make it right. And so they took me to a back room. And there was a police person who took me back there and started asking me some questions. I told her the name of my friend. She had the records and said, yeah, this is all. So they take me back out to the front booth, the information. And we determine what number the check should be. So I started to write the check. Well, the lady behind the counter says, well, sir, do you have any identification? Okay, I have a driver's license. I have no credit. Well, you don't have enough. I don't know if I could take your check. This is a true story. And the police person eventually just said, just take the check. What do you have to lose? I went up and down Shoregate. There was a store called Best. It wasn't Best Buys. It was just Best. They said, well, you know, all our books are settled. Don't worry about it. But what happened when Jesus came into my life? Everything changed. I was once lost. But Jesus found me. I found my home in him. I think of my dog, Ringo. And I just think, I wish Ringo would have wanted to be found. I wish he would have come home. God is searching for you right now. And he is saying, why don't you just stop long enough to be found so I can bring you home with me, that he may come into your life. So some of you here, even now, you know you're lost. You feel it in your heart and mind. You know there's more. And when you feel that thing going on in your heart and mind, there's something happening, that's Jesus calling you to himself. And as Augustine once said, our hearts are not at ease or at rest until they are at rest in him, until we come to believe in him. So this is what I'm going to do, and you guys have been awesome. For just one more moment, I want to pray with you and for you. If you're already found, I want you to pray for people to make a decision now. And if your heart is beating and you know you're lost and you want to get to Jesus, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now of coming home. And it's a very simple prayer, but it's from my heart. So I'll pray, and you can pray along. Let's pray together, okay? Lord Jesus, thank you for seeking me out. Thank you for loving me. I believe that you really died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the grave. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Take away my shame. And here and now, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Be my Lord, be my master. I'm your servant. And Lord Jesus, I will live for you all the days of my life. I'm going to pray for you now if you've prayed that prayer. Lord Jesus, now may the presence of your Holy Spirit invade their life. May you come into them with power, with all the forgiveness that comes from you and all the changes that you will make. We receive you, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.